Amen. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. The scripture says this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Anybody got a red letter edition Bible? Yeah? This is Jesus speaking. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Other versions say to set at liberty those that are oppressed. Jesus' whole purpose is to bring good news to the poor, is to release those who are bound, to release the captives. He came to heal, so both spiritually and physically, so that the blind would be able to see. He came to set those that are oppressed. He came to set them free. And maybe you think today, you think, well, that's all well and good, because isn't that great that Jesus came to do that? But Jesus lived 2,000 years ago. But I've come to tell you that Jesus is not dead. He is alive. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what he did back then, he can do today. And what he came to do back then, he came to do today. Praise God. Next scripture, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. A wonderful scripture that basically tells us how God knows how we feel. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize, who is not touched. The King James says, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and that we may find grace in the time of need. Has anybody ever been in a time of need? Well, we can go boldly before the throne of grace in our time of need. And we can go boldly because we know Jesus Christ himself knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to be in need. He knows what it's like to be in our shoes. He was without sin. He knows exactly how we feel. We can go boldly before the throne of grace. And the third scripture before you're seated, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Let's read that all together. It's on the screen. Let's follow through. Read it together out loud. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Heavenly Father, we need your word to speak to us. Oh God, we are a needy people and we have needs in this place today. Some of us have come here bearing burdens. Some of us have come here feeling like we're caged and captive. But God, we thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So as your word comes forth, I pray that the blind will see and that the captives will be released and that you will bind up the brokenhearted and that you will do a mighty work in this place in the name of Jesus. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. The purpose of Jesus was and still is the same. Our opening scripture spells it out very clearly when Jesus said that he came to heal the brokenhearted. I ask you this morning, has your heart been wounded? Have you been broken by something in life, some circumstance or someone? Has something happened in your life that makes it feel like your heart or your emotions have been broken? And though the pain may be big, and though the pain may be real, I've come to tell you that there is somebody that can heal it, and that is Jesus Christ today. And some people here today, maybe you feel like you're bound. Maybe you're bound by circumstances in life. Maybe you're bound by addiction. Something has got a hold of you and it is controlling you and keeping you captive. I've come to tell you today that Jesus came to bring deliverance to the captives. He came to heal people, to bring sight to the blind, not just those who have lost their physical sight, but and he healed those that had lost their physical sight. But he'd also come to bring sight to those that had lost direction, those who had lost purpose, those who had lost vision in life and what God wants to do. He has come to heal those people and to recover their sight. He's come that the oppressed would be set free. He's come to bring new beginnings. Everybody say new beginnings. And I've come to preach today this simple title, A New Beginning is Within Your Grasp. A new beginning is within your grasp. Why is a new beginning within your grasp? How is it that we can have a new beginning? How is it that all things can become new? How is it that in this world that says once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic? How is it that in this world that says once you're depressed, you're always going to be depressed? You just can't escape that. Once abused, always abused. That's what the world says. But the Word of God says that when you are in Christ Jesus, that old things can become new. And there is a new beginning. And if you're in the house of God and under the sound of my voice as I preach today, I've come to tell you that a new beginning is within your grasp. If you've got past hurts, things in the past that have become baggage and weighing you down, present hurts, things that are happening now in your life and the weight is so heavy and your vision is obscured. Maybe you're stuck in a bad cycle. You just can't seem to get stuck. You're just stuck in it. You can't get out of it. You feel trapped. Maybe you're held hostage today by bitterness and depression or doubt and fear. It's got a hold of you. Maybe you're here today and you're in church, but really you've drifted away from God. Maybe you're here today and you're searching for meaning in life. Maybe you're looking for something to fill that empty void, that empty place in your life, trying to fill it, and you've tried everything. You've tried money. You've tried success. You've tried popularity. You've been everywhere. You've tried friends. But you come here today and you say, I've tried everything, but I haven't been able to fill that void. Let me tell you, there is only one that can fill that void, and that is Jesus. Amen. Clap your hands to the Lord today. Hallelujah. A new beginning is within your grasp. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. Why? Because he knows how we feel. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And he came to give good news to the poor. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to deliver the captives from their captors. He came to give people their vision again. I want to talk a little while about hurts and past hurts in our life. Next slide there, Brother Morty. You see, as we go through life, you very quickly learn that life isn't always fair. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody here agree that life isn't always fair? Raise your hand if you agree with me. If you've lived long enough, you're going to know that life is not always fair. Sometimes you miss out on the job that you should have got. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. And what's even worse is good things happen to bad people. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. But sometimes you're going through life, Brother Gabriel, and life just has a way at times of coming and just slapping you right in the face. Life isn't always fair. And there are people here today, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you've lived long enough to experience some hurts. You've lived long enough to experience some disappointments. You've lived long enough to say, life isn't always fair. And as we grow up from our teenage years, When we are young and we kind of have this idealistic mindset about how life is going to unfold, we're full of hope and we're full of optimism about the future. And when you're young, it's anything is possible. And then life just begins to happen. And the truth is that as we go through life, we accumulate weight. We accumulate burdens as we go through life. And you will be brokenhearted and you will experience the weight of disappointments. And life just starts happening. And somebody says to you, they say, I don't love you anymore. Somebody says to you, they say, you know, you're just stupid. Somebody says, I wish I never had you. You're not even a nice person. I don't even like you. Things begin to happen, and if we're not careful, they begin to become a weight on us. And somebody we loved betrays us, and the person that we thought was a Christian doesn't seem to be acting like a Christian. And sometimes you fail, and even when you had the best intentions at heart, you still failed, and you get hurt. And the hurt goes beyond just hurt. And it becomes weight. And the more hurts and the more disappointments we experience, the more weight we feel in our life. And if you know what it's like to carry a big backpack, it's hard to walk with weight. And the same is with the past hurts. The same is with bitterness and unforgiveness. It becomes a weight. And as you accumulate more and more weight, it begins to burden you down. Before long, you're finding it hard to walk. You're finding it hard just to get through each day. You're finding it hard to be friendly to anybody. You're finding it hard to like anybody. You're finding it hard to like the world. You're finding it hard to even do life at all because you're so weighted down. Things just seem to accumulate. Maybe you say, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, Pastor. I'm experiencing that weight. Where did it all come from? Let me tell you, it didn't all come just in one go. It's just one thing after another. And it's hard to walk. You see, sometimes we even learn to walk with the weight. Sometimes we learn to walk with all of that stuff, but we limp in our way through life. Never completely who God wants us to be because we're just limping under the weight of everything. Our past hurts. But I've come to tell you that that's not God's plan for your life. That is not God's plan for your life. Jesus came to set at liberty those that are bruised. Jesus said, casting all your cares on me, casting all of your burdens on me. He says, I am your comforter. Come to Jesus, I am your comforter, casting all your cares on me because I care for you. It is not God's plan that we go through life weighted down, not able to be the person that God wants us to be. So those of us that are experiencing past hurts, you may even be a born again Christian. That doesn't exclude you from weight. It doesn't exclude you from past hurts. You may be a born again Christian and carrying the weight of the past. But I've come to tell you that you're carrying that burden, but the burden bearer is in the house. Jesus is here in this place, and you can turn your cares, you can turn your burdens over to him. He's the lover of our soul. And he said, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And it's either we believe the Bible or not. Either Jesus is the burden bearer or not. Either we can take our burdens to him, and for he cares for us, or not. It's either the Bible or we may as well get rid of this thing. I choose to believe God's word and that Jesus wants to bear our burdens. Hallelujah. So there's another type of weight that can weigh us down. And that is the weight of sin. As we go through life, and even as Christians, all of us, we make mistakes. We fall into sin. Sometimes we fall. Sometimes it's accidental. Sometimes it was an innocent mistake that led us down that way, or somehow we ended up there. Sometimes we fall, but sometimes we willfully just choose to give into temptation and sin. And so maybe you're here today and you're weighed down by sin. You feel far from God because you've got sin in your life, and your sin becomes like this massive chasm spanning a vast difference between God and you. And you come to the house of God and he feels so far from you. You can't seem to touch him because you feel like there's just so much sin in your life, and you're weighed down, and that sin becomes a heavy weight, the weight of sin, the baggage. And not only do we have to deal with the weight of sin, we also got to deal with somebody who's called the accuser of the brethren. And so if it's not enough to just go through life with the weight of sin, we've also got the devil who would come to us and tell you, come on, you failed God. You can't go to church today. Who do you think you are, you hypocrite? You did the wrong thing. You sinned. You can't make it back to God. You're well and truly gone. You're never going to be the Christian that God wants you to be. You're never going to be the Christian that you even want to be, because you just keep failing. Why don't you just give up on God and walk away from him? He comes and tells you, you're not strong enough to walk this Christian walk. You're not strong enough to keep the faith. You're not strong enough to make it. Why don't you give up? He's called the accuser of the brethren. And so he tells us we're not good enough. He tells us that no one loves us. He tells us that our life is too messed up. He tells us that I can never, ever have God's best. And when you come to church, the accuser of the brethren is the first one to meet you at the door. What are you doing here? Huh? If only everybody knew what you'd been up to this week. And so we come in, we feel intimidated. We can't even worship God. But let me tell you, when we begin to worship God, and when we begin to cry out to him and pray that prayer of repentance, God, forgive me of my sin. Let me tell you, if we confess our sin to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so he meets you at the door, because why? He knows that the solution is inside here. The solution is in here when you bow that knee, when you bow your head and you confess your sin to God, and he forgives you of that sin. He takes that weight off your shoulders. And so I've come to tell you that you're in the right place, because Jesus is the answer. And you might like to think that everybody else in this place has just got their life all together. They just look like it, trust me. They got dressed up in their best clothes. They've got their best smile on. But there are all types here. We're just sinners saved by grace. We've got alcoholics. We've got thieves. We've got everything you can imagine in the house of God. Paul said to his church, he said, and such were some of you. The truth be known that we wouldn't want everybody to know what's been in our past. But we've got a God who forgives. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So the choice is ours. We can continue to carry that weight, or at some point we can choose to say, I'm going to leave the past behind. We can choose to leave those past hurts behind. We can choose to leave those things that we're holding on to, that bitterness or unforgiveness. We can choose to leave it behind, and we can choose to walk in a new beginning. It's our choice. Everybody say, it's my choice. Either you can carry the weight, or at some point you're going to have to realize that a new beginning is within your grasp. And as I speak this morning, the challenge to you is this. This is the challenge, is to acknowledge your weight. What is that thing? What is that weight that is weighing you down? What is it? And the importance of acknowledging it. I'm not asking you to tell the person next to you. I'm not asking you to tell me. But all I'm asking you is to be truthful. Why is it so important to be truthful with yourself? Because the Bible says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The truth can set you free. Now, if I go to the doctor And I walk in there, and I've got all these problems with me. And the doctor says to me, now you'll be right. You've just got a bit of an infection there, and you've got a problem with your heart and a problem with your lungs. But hey, you'll be right. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Is that what I'm going to want to hear? I'm going to want to hear the doctor be truthful to me. Tell me the truth, doctor. Now, the other thing, that's one way. So we want the doctor to be truthful with us. But the doctor also wants us to realize the truth ourselves. So if I go into the doctor, and let's use an example. A smoker goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, you're going to have to give up smoking because smoking's going to kill you. All right? So you go in there, and that's what the doctor will tell you. Smoking is going to kill you. The doctor has told you the truth. The doctor has told you the truth. But unless you know the truth, unless you realize the truth for yourself, you cannot be set free. You cannot even begin to try to give up cigarettes. Because you don't even know the truth yourself. And so when the truth of the doctor, okay, when the doctor says, if you don't stop smoking, you're going to die. When the truth of the doctor meets the truth of ourselves, when we stand there and go, you know what? I'm going to have to give up cigarettes or I'm going to die. When the truth of the doctor meets the truth of ourselves, there is power, and that power is that we can be set free. And so when the truth of God's word meets the truth about ourselves, we can be set free. When we read that you know, about the weight of sin and that Jesus can forgive sin, unless we realize that we are a sinner, we can't be set free from that. Unless we're willing to confess with our mouth our sin, we cannot be cleansed from all unrighteousness. And so I'm asking you to be truthful about yourself. What is that weight that's weighing you down? Give it a name. What is it? Is it some past hurt or some wound or some unconfessed or unforgiven sin? Is it an addiction? Is it a thing or a thought? Maybe your weight is depression. What is it that's weighing you down? And let me tell you what happens straight away when we start talking about being truthful. This word comes into our mind, blame. But God says that the truth will set you free, but the first thing that comes to our mind is, but they. But they did this, and we try to look for somewhere else to blame. We want to blame somebody because we don't want to be truthful about it. We don't want to be truthful about our condition. But so-and-so did that to me, and so-and-so said that, and so-and-so did this, and all of that. And we look for someone to blame, or we look to circumstances to blame. And that's just the devil trying to distract us from being truthful. Because if we're not truthful about ourselves, we can't be set free. And as long as we continue to blame somebody else, we're never going to look at our own selves in a truthful light. There is power in being truthful. And when we blame, we say things like, I'll be better when that person makes it right. When that person comes to me and sets things straight, and when that person comes to me and fixes up A, B, C, and D, then everything will be right. But let me tell you, it's just blame, 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 and that's the devil's game. Even in marriage relationships, let me just go there for a while. Too many spouses are waiting for their spouse to change before they change. That's a recipe for disaster. Oh, the problem's just with them. It's all them. And here we are walking along, not even accepting the truth of what we may contribute to it. So they go along saying everything will be right in our marriage when they change, when they change this, when they change that, when they change their attitude. And we sit there just waiting for the other person to change. You cannot change them. They might not ever change, but the only person you can change is yourself. And that's not good. That's not easy to take marriage advice, but that's a lot of the marriage advice you'll hear from me, is change what you have the power to change. Change your attitude, and then things can begin to change in your marriage. But the devil comes and says, oh, you just wait on that person to change.
You just wait. You've got a right to be angry. You've got a right to be bitter. You've got a right to harbor unforgiveness. You've got a right to walk around with that attitude, but you don't have a right. You just got to get your attitude right and be truthful about yourself and say, I'm just going to change myself and let's see how the other person changes when I do that. Oh, but Pastor, what? They're 90% wrong. I'm only 10% wrong. Well, that's not normally the case, but sometimes it is. Sometimes one spouse is 90% wrong. They've done everything bad. Person may be only 10% wrong. Well, make your 10% right, and let's see what God will do. And so, blame. Everybody say blame. The truth will set you free. Don't blame, just be truthful. There's another thing that the devil tries to do. It's not blame. It's called delay. Everybody say delay. Waiting for the perfect scenario. When this happens, or after the holiday, or when I get a job, or when I get a pay rise, or when this happens or that happens, delay tactics, and these are tactics of the devil. When this happens, I'll be ready to forgive. When this happens, I'll be ready to deal with this weight. When this happens, I'll be ready to deal with the sin. When this happens, I'll be ready to deal with the addiction. When this happens, I'll be ready to deal with the bitterness or the secret sin in my life. We're waiting for the perfect scenario to unfold. Chances are that perfect scenario will not unfold. And the only solution is that we're truthful. Because only the truth will set us free. There will never be a perfect time to be truthful about ourselves. The time is now. You've got to be truthful about your condition in God. You've got to be truthful because only when we are truthful can we be set free. And so when the word of God comes forth from the pulpit, when we read the scripture that Jesus can set the captives free, unless you are willing to recognize that you are captive by something, unless you're willing to recognize that you have an addiction to a thing or a thought or something like that, unless you are truthful, it doesn't matter how powerful the word of God is, it can't change you unless you're truthful. And that's why that scripture, if you care to read it, I don't have the reference with me, it says, and you shall know the truth. Everybody say no. And the truth will set you free. Everybody, I hear a lot of people, they misquote that. They say, the truth will set you free. Huh. Now, just having the truth on my bookshelf at home is not going to do anything to set me free. The power of the word comes in my knowing. Okay? It comes in my knowing, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that word know, K-N-O-W, is not just an intellectual knowledge. That word know, K-N-O-W, is the Greek word gnosko, which is an intimate knowledge. Adam knew Eve. It's the same word used there. We've got to have an intimate knowledge where the word of God gets inside of us and we get into the word of God. It's more than just a theoretical knowledge. We've got to know it intimately. And so, if we are truthful today, a new beginning is within our grasp. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Paul says this, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. In other words, not as though I have arrived or not as though I am perfect. I haven't arrived at some destination, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. I'm pursuing something. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing. Everybody say one thing. I'm glad that Paul said one thing. Because I know as a man, my wife gives me five things to get at the shop, I'm going to forget something for sure. How many men know what I'm talking about? She goes to give you a list. Don't worry about lists, it'll be right. We go out in the car, we go, milk, eggs, newspaper, flour, and steak. Milk, and then we get to the shops and we've forgotten it. We come home, walk badly through the door. Darling, got everything? She opens the bag. She goes, you forgot the steak. Trust me, it happens to me all the time. Or you're walking around the aisle trying to like jog your memory because you don't want to ring your wife and tell her you've already forgotten. So you're walking up and down the aisles trying to jog your memory what that fifth thing was that you needed. But Paul said one thing. I'm glad he said one thing. It makes it easy. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things, is simple. In fact, Paul makes it a little bit confusing because he says one thing and then he tells us to do three things. Some would say that's typical, Paul. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, this one thing I do, I've got to leave some things behind. I've got to reach forward to the things that are ahead. And he said, I've got to press toward the mark. Everybody say press. That doesn't sound very easy, does it? Sometimes it's very hard. Sometimes the Christian walk is hard. Sometimes it's going to be hard to go into the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is Paul, a man who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, a great apostle to the Gentiles. This is Paul, the man who sparked the flame of revival throughout the Roman Empire and still has effects on the world today. This is the Paul that many secular historians call the third greatest man who ever lived. So I think it's something worth listening to. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, I leave the baggage behind. I've got to leave the sin behind. I've got to leave the past hurts behind. I've got to leave the present hurts behind. And I've got to keep pressing. I've just got to keep putting one foot in front of another. I've got to keep pressing towards the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We've got to leave some things behind. We've got to leave the weight behind because a new beginning is within our grasp. You can have a new beginning in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The world says that some things can never be left behind. Yeah, just have to drag them through life for the rest of your life. The world says if you've been hurt by somebody when you're a child, that you just got to drag that hurt through life. And the best you can hope is that maybe you'll find some medication or something to dull the pain of what happened in the past. The world says you can't leave some things behind. The world says that once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Once an addict, always an addict. The world says that if you were abused and neglected as a child, you've got to drag that through your life. The world says the best you could ever hope for is that you could just learn to cope with things and that you cannot leave anything behind. But Jesus, that's not the same with Jesus. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set the captives free. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are left behind. Behold, a new beginning. And so, Paul, this is like his philosophy in life. He said, I press towards the mark. He says, I leave some things behind. I forget some things. Paul says, I refuse to be shackled to my past. I refuse to be chained. I refuse to live as a slave. Everybody say a slave. I refuse to live as a slave to my past. I refuse to be bound by the circumstances of yesterday. I refuse to have my life dictated to by my past. He says, instead of that, I'm just going to leave them behind. And I'm going to keep marching forward. I'm going to keep pressing forward toward the mark. Mark chapter 10, if you can turn there in your Bibles. We read about this guy, and I'm almost done. It's a good idea if you turn there. We read here about blind Bartimaeus. Now, we read here starting in verse 46, says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. So Jesus is with his disciples. There's a great crowd following him down the street and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, so he would have heard a commotion. He would have been sitting there thinking, what's all the noise? What's all the fuss? There's a big crowd coming down the road. What's happening? It says, and when he heard that it was Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Can you imagine everyone that's standing around Jesus coming with his disciples? Jesus has been performing all these miracles. He's, I guess, what you would call a celebrity or a famous person. He's walking down the street, and then suddenly somebody, without any manners, so embarrassingly, just starts screaming at him, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. And it wasn't just someone normal. It was a beggar, a blind beggar. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And I guess in these days and ages, it just say, Tony Abbott was walking down the street and somebody comes up, a beggar starts, have mercy on me, Tony, have mercy. Someone will go over and just be quiet. You embarrass him. We don't want him to be distracted. You just be quiet. I need a raise in my pension. I need a raise in my pension. Shh, you just be quiet. Hold your peace. And so when he started to cry out to Jesus, it says, and many charged him. They came up and rebuked him. They said that he should hold his peace. They asked him to hold his peace. But you know what? When they told him to be quiet, he cried the more, a great deal. He got louder and louder. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. You see, Bartimaeus had been waiting beside the roadside. He had no hope until somebody said, Jesus of Nazareth is coming. Why did he suddenly have hope when he heard Jesus was coming? Because he knew why Jesus came in the first place. He came to bring sight to the blind. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set the captives free, and that excited him. And I'm not sure if blind Bartimaeus knew everything about the Bible. I'm not sure if blind Bartimaeus knew everything about Jesus. I'm not sure blind Bartimaeus had been to Bible school or theological seminary or something like that. But all that he knew is that Jesus was a life changer and that Jesus was a healer and that Jesus could deliver him from yesterday's burdens. He knew that Jesus could change the direction of his whole life. That is all he knew. And if you're here today and you don't know much about Jesus, all you need to know is that Jesus is a healer, that Jesus is a life changer, and that in Jesus a new beginning is within your grasp. That's all he needed to know. So he made up his mind. He said, I'm not going to miss my opportunity. I'm going to get Jesus' attention, and I'm going to receive my miracle. I'm not going to wait till tomorrow. Jesus is here, and I'm going to go and meet him today. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And so now I imagine Bartimaeus would have said, that's okay for you. You can tell me to be quiet because you're not blind. I'm blind. You can think that I can sit here quiet having a picnic, but I'm blind and I'm begging. I got no job. I'm desperate. It's all well and good for you to tell me to be quiet, but I'm desperate. And with that, Bartimaeus cried even more. He cried out until someone walked up to him and said, you can calm down now, mate. Jesus has heard you, and he's asking for you to come. He stood up from where he was. Let's look at verse 49. I love this. It's on the screen. And Jesus stood still. Jesus was going somewhere, had a crowd around him, on his way to Jericho. He stops. Now listen, there is a cry that stops Jesus in his tracks. And it's the cry of a desperate person. It is the cry of somebody who is truthful about their condition. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call the blind man, saying, "Be of good comfort, rise, because he calleth thee." Now, this is very important right here. You see, back then, everybody was identified by the robes they wore. There were priestly robes. There were all types of robes. Brother Aaron spoke about it. How important you were depended on the type of clothes that you wore to reflect your office. And I guess it was the same with beggars. Because it says, "And he, blind Bartimaeus, casting away his garment, rose." He took that coat off. He rose and came to Jesus. Now, I don't believe anything is in the Bible just by accident. I don't believe it's there just because we need to fill something. And did we really need to know that he cast away his garment? Yes, I believe we did. You see, Bartimaeus realized that the coat he was wearing was a beggar's coat. "This coat I'm wearing is a blind man's coat." He rose from his place and he dropped the coat to the ground and he left it behind him. Everybody say behind him. And he went to Jesus. He said, "I'm not going to be a begging blind man anymore. I'm taking that coat off because I can leave some things behind, because a new beginning is now within my grasp. I don't have to be shackled to my past. I don't have to be identified as a blind beggar anymore, because Jesus is here and a new beginning is within my grasp." And let me tell you here today, some of us need to take off that blind beggar's coat. We've got to take off that coat of bitterness and unforgiveness. We've got to take off the coat of past hurts and get a hold of Jesus. Because a new beginning is within our grasp. "Oh, do it tomorrow," the devil says. No, do it now. Do it today. Make that change today. A new beginning, a completely new beginning. Not just turning over a new leaf, because that's what we do. We turn over new leaves, but Jesus gives new beginnings. Do it now. Repent. Leave that old life. Drop it beside the coat, beside the road. Leave the anxiety behind. Leave the old life behind. And so in the Bible, we read about repentance. And some would say that repentance is just something that people that come to Jesus do once. Yes, it's true. When you first start walking with God and want to walk with God, the first thing you do is that you repent. There's a change of direction in your life. Repentance is an inward change of attitude. Something changes on the inside, but it results in an outward change of action. Something changes on the inside, and it's visible on the outside. Repentance. We turn around. It's an old word that means to turn around. In fact, Peter preached it on the day of Pentecost. When they said, "What must we do?" Peter said, "Repent." He said, "You've got to make up your mind that you're going to leave the past behind. You've got to be truthful about yourself and say, I cannot keep walking in that direction. I've got to leave it behind." Repentance. And so the devil would say that you only repent once in life and then after that you don't have to do it. But repentance is something that we've got to do daily. We've got to do regularly. We're continually making sure our life is pointed in the direction of Jesus. When my mom taught me to pray, the first thing she said, you pray repentance to start with. "Oh Lord, forgive me for the sin that I have done in the last day. Forgive me for my attitude. Forgive me for this or for that." Even though you may not have done something wrong, it's good practice to pray a prayer of repentance before you pray every time and ask the Lord to forgive you. And so, we talk about new beginnings, we have to talk about being born again. Jesus said in John 3, Nicodemus came to him and he didn't really say anything. Jesus already knew what he needed to hear. He came to him in the night. He's like, "Jesus, we know that you're a teacher come from God, because no one can do these miracles except he come from God." And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus says, "Well, can I go a second time into my mother's womb and be born? That sounds crazy." Jesus said, no. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. And so if you've never been born again, it starts with repentance, with a choice to turn your life around. Then you move to the waters of baptism, where our sins are washed away. And then the promise is that he will fill you with the Holy Spirit. So maybe you came today burdened, mistreated, weighted down with baggage, unfairness, unjust, injustice. You can decide to continue to live the way you're living, or you can give your baggage to Jesus. You can keep going through that life carrying the suitcase of all your troubles, carrying the suitcase of all that sin that is just weighed up in your life and is affecting your walk with God and affecting your attitude in life. Or you can lay it down at the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you died for every sin. I thank you that you died for every hurt. I thank you that you came to heal the brokenhearted. I thank you that you came to set the captives free. I thank you, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. A new beginning. Is a new beginning just for people who have never, ever given their life to God? No. Tell you, a lot of us, we stray off the path, wandering off, following our own thoughts and our own ways, thinking we know better, and we wander way off the path. But you can get back on the track again today. You can be healed today. You can have your sin forgiven today. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins today. You can repent, have a total new direction in life. A fresh start, a new beginning. It's your choice. You can carry it for the rest of your life, or you can leave it behind, because mercy is here today. God's grace is here. It's our decision. Let's all stand. And so, if there's anybody here today that wants a new beginning in their life, maybe you're a guest. Maybe you've never even been to our church before. Maybe you've never even been in a church before. Let me tell you, there are no coincidences with my God. That God brought you here to this place, first of all. Second of all, that he laid such a message on a pastor's heart to preach at the service that you would attend. I want to tell you that there is no coincidence, but that Jesus wants to give you a new beginning. The second person that the Lord is speaking to today is that person that feels their life has totally drifted off course. You're still in church. You wouldn't call yourself a bad person, but sinners begin to creep into your life. Things you know you shouldn't do. Things you know that God's not pleased with. And that has created a chasm, separation between you and God. It's affecting your worship. It's affecting your walk. You're walking with a limp. If you're one of those people today, a new beginning is within your grasp. And for those that continue to be shackled by their past, whatever it is from the past that just keeps dragging you down, God can set you free today. He came to heal the brokenhearted. And so this altar is open if you want to come. And what do you pray when you come to an altar like this? Well, what you pray is, number one, you confess exactly what it is. You be truthful to God about what it is, what that weight is in your life. You be truthful. And say, God, I know that you don't want me to live like this, because your word says that I shouldn't live like this. Or your word says I shouldn't harbor this attitude. Your word says that I shouldn't harbor unforgiveness. Your word says, I know, God, that's the truth. And Lord, to be truthful with you, God, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm harboring unforgiveness. I'm doing the wrong thing that's against your word. And when you acknowledge that, there is that power, and it can set you free. The truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you're here today and you come down to pray, you say, God, I'm sorry that my life has wandered off course. I'm sorry, Lord, that I placed my love and my interest in other things other than you, God. But Lord, I want to turn back to you today. I've come a simple message, a new beginning. A new beginning is within your grasp. Let's all lift our hands right across this place.